all you do. And again, condolences to you and your family. Well, this has been Hemispheres and the International Press Roundtable. I've been your host, Jim Nelson. Thanks again for tuning in this evening, and tune in again next week for another edition of Hemispheres. Stay tuned for Corriente in 1 hour at 8 o'clock. Coming up next will be the cabaret program. The time is 7 o'clock. This is KGNU Boulder, Denver, Fort Collins. It's time now for Cabaret.
All right. Thank you very much. Yeah. Welcome to Cabaret. And we have a special show for you tonight. Live performances here at 4700 Walnut Street. We're going to have some great musicians from Swallow Hill, John Nash and Chris McGarry. And we're going to let them take it away. And then we're going to talk about the 10th annual Uke Fest at Swallow Hill.
That wasn't me. That was John Nash playing the ukulele. This is Chris, by the way. Yeah. Great job, John.
Thank you very much.
Do you have a, what was that tune?
That was a tune called Guava Jam, old Hawaiian tune, something fast, something to hopefully get me warmed up a little bit.
That's a beautiful tune, John.
Thank you very much. A little more music, or you guys want
to
talk
about it? Let's do a little more music for everybody to tell.
Okay.
They just had like 3 hours of news or whatever, so talk and...
Ukulele's way better than the news.
Okay, so I'm going to do an original
tune. That was very
tune.
Pretty.
Thank you very much. I'm going to do an original tune. It's called Sentiment. Thank you.
song, what did you say that was called again?
That is an original tune called Sentiment.
Sentiments, exactly.
Yeah.
So how long have you been playing the ukulele?
I have been playing uke for, I want to say 7 years. Seven, eight years, huh? Yeah. I played guitar and bass before that, so stringed instruments, a lot of the kind of the knowledge applies. I've been playing stringed instruments probably since I was like 16, so 20 years, something like that. But yeah, uke specifically about 7 or 8 years.
And then uke is it for you now, huh?
Yeah, I actually specialize only in that instrument. I only teach and perform with this instrument now. I don't know, just kind of have a love affair with it these days. And for me, music is really enjoyable when it's spontaneous. So it's a really nice instrument to be able to kind of pack away. And I always have it with me. You know, it's either in my car or on my person. So yeah, you can't really do that with a piano or
or even a guitar that's larger.
Even a guitar, yeah, that takes up a lot of trunk space.
Yeah, the uke is a nice size. I guess we could get started now. Let's talk about the 10th annual ukulele festival at Swallow Hill.
Yeah, what do you want to know?
Well, I mean, that's a pretty significant milestone.
It is.
It was started probably when Michael Schenkler was there.
Yeah, Schenkelberg. Schenkelberg. It took me years to get that right. But
it'll probably take me longer then.
Yeah. Yeah, he started about 10 years ago. Not about 10 years ago, exactly 10 years ago, hence our 10th annual. And he started it sort of in partnership with Aaron Keim, who played in Boulder Acoustic Society, who consequently was the guy who got me into ukulele, too. Aaron kind of showed me how to do it, and he was the person that made me go, that's a cool instrument. So, yeah, so it was started 10 years ago, and it's always been a sort of interesting hybrid between educational and performance. So, mm-hmm. You know, the idea, and it's, you know, there's uke fests nationwide, and it's kind of cool because any uke fest you go to, there's going to be a significant teaching portion of it.
So right.
I really love that part of the ukulele.
And so it starts on Thursday night on... Well, I want to say there's a pre-concert on Cinco de Mayo at the VFW number 1.
Right.
So that's kind of like a warm-up to get people excited about going to the concerts and stuff?
Yeah, so this is sort of a, this is one of those events too, where we booked a couple events to just kind of spread the word. So yeah, at the VFW, it's going to be one of our other instructors, Liata Roches, who is a singer-songwriter and she plays the ukulele too, so... Yeah,
and then a week later on that Thursday, the 11th, starts, and there's something about a metal jam or something like that.
Yeah, well, it was that Thursday night has traditionally been the heavy metal uke jam, and so that is it's called that, and we so this year it's just going to be an open stage, so people come out and community members and people who are attending the festival. Get on and play a song on stage.
Oh, wow.
Just to kind of get everybody psyched up for the festival. And it's one of my favorite things because one thing that's amazing about the open stage part of it is somebody who's just learning the instrument and has finally gotten the like nerve up to come out and play a song, they get up there and like sing their hearts out and the place just goes wild. And so it's really great to see how supportive that community is and, you know, watch people get through their first performance and then, and then the next person maybe that gets on stage has been doing it forever and is a pro and just, you know, tears the roof off the place. So, yeah.
And you have, and for the concert, I mean, there's, I guess Friday and Saturday, there's all kinds of different lessons and workshops and stuff like that with all your different instructors.
Yeah, so Friday night we're super excited about. It's, you know, ukulele virtuoso and legend Jake Shimabukuro. He's playing Friday night and then giving a workshop before the concert. And that's kind of one of the things about Uke Fest is that you get a chance to learn from the pros that mm-hmm. are playing on stage. In some cases, they'll teach you something during the day, and then at night you get to watch them play it on stage. It's great.
See how what they taught you, how they apply it. Yeah.
Yeah. And then John and two of our other ukulele instructors are forming a trio for the night and opening up the show for Jake Shimabukuro.
Yeah.
power trio.
Yeah.
Excited. Yeah, myself and Casey Cormier and Daniela Katziar, who are both ukulele instructors at Swallow Hill Music, we got asked to open for Jake, which I'm really excited about, Friday night. And so we've been putting some work into rehearsals and got some material that we're really excited about. Probably have upright bass, ukulele, and guitar. There'll always be ukulele going on as per Uke Fest. But yeah, it's a chance for us to kind of show off our multi-instrumental kind of background.
Yeah, it just seems like, isn't it true that more and more ukuleles are sold every year, and it's kind of a fastly growing instrument, but people learning how to play it?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, when I started to get into teaching, which was about 7 or 8 years ago, you know, I was teaching other instruments, and then I really started to focus on ukulele because I just found that was kind of that's what people wanted to learn, you know? And so I really started to put my energy into building skills on the ukulele, and then trying to develop curriculum and, different educational pieces to that instrument specifically. And I've just found that, it's getting really popular as far as people trying to pick it up. You know, it's got a nice entry level kind of curve to it. It's an approachable instrument versus a lot of other things that have quite a long learning curve. And so that's one of the reasons I love it for an educational sense, is that you can really accomplish a lot on the instrument very quickly. So yeah, and you know, a lot of people talk about how this is kind of the third wave of popularity in the instrument, and whether or not it's gonna kind of die off and become a little fatty. But it's been going on for like 10, 12 years kind of strong now that it's increased in popularity every year. So I don't really see it declining.
I remember seeing L2, and they would have the whole building just occupied with students and enthusiasts, and then they would have the concert and stuff like that, and they filled the whole building.
Yeah, yeah. So, Chris was actually telling me about that earlier. That was one of the years that the Uke Fest went outside of Swallow Hill.
Yeah, we had it at the L2. I don't remember which year that was. Mm-hmm. I think I've been to 8 to 9 out of the 10 Uke Fests.
All right.
So they kind of blend together in my mind at some point.
And like you say, it's got a good entry point. I mean, we got a nice one for like $150. You spend a lot of money for it.
Yeah, the cost is really great. I mean, and especially because of the boom in popularity, there have been a lot of manufacturers that are producing higher quality instruments for those low price points.
Yeah.
You know, you could spend $60 or $70 and not get a very good instrument 10 years ago, but now you spend $70, $90, you have a ukulele that's staying in tune and totally functional and it'll serve you for those first couple of years.
Wow.
You know, and $60 or $70, you can't really argue with that price point as far as an instrument goes.
It would be hard to get another instrument of that price.
Yeah, for sure.
To start out with. All right, so we're here with John Nash and Chris McGarry from Swallow Hill. And what are we going to do next, guys?
I'll play a tune. How's
that?
Yeah.
Do it, Chris.
All right.
And maybe you could talk about your, before you play the tune, Chris, you could talk about your ukulele there. It looks like a resonator guitar or something.
It is. It's a resonator ukulele.
That's why it looks that way.
That's why it looks like a small resonator guitar. So for those of you listening, it looks like there's a pie plate in my ukulele. So it's essentially a metallic speaker cone, and you'll hear it, but it makes it louder.
Oh.
So it amplifies the sound, but it also kind of sounds like, you know, it's like a distortion pedal for your ukulele. It just adds a little bit of like dirt and grit to it. So
cool.
Yeah, I love the sound. All right, so this is a tune called Red Rocking Chair. Thank you.
got no use for this red rocking chair. Well, I ain't got no honey baby now. Well, I ain't got no honey baby now. Empty space in this red rocking chair. Well, I ain't got no honey baby now. Well, I ain't got no honey baby now. Now, who rock your cradle? Cradle when I'm gone, when I'm gone. Yeah, Papa rock the cradle when you're gone. And I've done all I can do to try to get along with you. I'm not gonna be treated this old way, this old way. I'm not gonna be treated this old way. And I've done all I can do and all I can say. Gonna sing it to your mama on your next payday. Gonna sing it to your mama on your next payday. I got no use for this red rocking chair. Well, I ain't got no honey baby now. Oh, I ain't got no honey baby now. An empty space in this red rocking chair. Well, I ain't got no honey baby now. Well, I ain't got no honey baby now.
That was cool.
Thanks.
That did sound like you maybe you could go into some hard rock or something. Yeah.
Yeah, that's my stadium rocker.
Awesome. Very fun. Very fun.
Thanks.
And Chris, how did you get to play? Oh, you just said from Aaron, huh?
Yeah, he was a big influence on me.
Yeah.
And that piece right there really sounds like something. So, you know, Aaron, he goes under the pseudonym Quiet American, and is playing Saturday night at the festival.
Yep.
You know, he does a lot of that, translates Appalachian banjo styles and song styles to the ukulele. And I've got have always had a passion for that kind of music. So yeah, a lot of what I learned from Aaron is in that style. So
now, is Aaron now a luthier of ukuleles too?
Yeah, he is. Yep.
Okay, I remember that. Yeah, he lives in Oregon now.
Yep, and he built this ukulele, the pie plate ukulele.
Oh wow.
The resonator, and then also is now building banjo ukuleles under the name Banjo or Bean Sprout. Banjo ukuleles.
Oh, wonderful.
Getting that right.
Yeah. All righty. Where are we going to go next?
John, let's hear one.
All right. I'll do one more instrumental. One more original song. This song is called Unnamed, because I don't have a name for it yet. Thank you.
icon name.
I do too. Until a better name comes along.
So we've heard two of your compositions. Is that kind of like your style compositions? These very pretty melodic things, or
yeah. The album I put out, it's called Moment, and I put that probably, I want to say two years ago now, I put it out. And it was, you know, I've played in bands throughout my life and been through the recording process before, but never did anything solo. Mm-hmm. So that solo record was basically seven or eight songs. So almost an EP, but I call it a CD. seven or eight songs, and they were all instrumental ukes. A lot of them were just one take.
Wow.
A lot of that is because I kind of wanted to see if I could pull it off. And another reason is because I didn't have a ton of money to spend on recording time. But yeah, it was an interesting project. It's definitely the, you know, kind of me stretching out a little bit on the instrument. It was definitely after I'd kind of made the switch to teaching full time and performing just with this instrument. So I would say that that's kind of my style now, but it's also pretty new to me. You know, I've been performing probably for 4 or 5 years and really concentrating on teaching a lot. So the performing thing, it's taking me into new avenues and starting to write songs with lyrics. But I always loved kind of the instrumental things. You know, Jake Shimokuro, big influence. Aldrin Guerrero, also another artist that's going to be at this year's Denver Uke Fest. You know, people like that, just kind of watching them play and seeing them push the boundaries of what could be done on the instrument. It's a really fun instrument to kind of try to do technical things on, because it seems like such a simple instrument when you approach it, you know, a lot of one finger chords and, but to do anything like, you know, more technical on it is always impressive to me, because it is kind of a humble sort of short ranged instrument. And when you see somebody do something spectacular on it, it's kind of a little bit of a twist, which I really like.
I remember seeing Jake and I thought he was jaw dropping.
Yeah. He's phenomenal. He's one of the, you know, he's probably one of the reasons I got a job teaching just ukulele, and we kind of owe it all to him. He was really, the first guy to really break it into the mainstream. You know, it was before, I think it was kind of had a big cult following. There were a lot of people because of the internet and YouTube. A lot of people were kind of underground a little bit with liking ukulele, and their communities were starting kind of small, but he was definitely one of the first guys to make it more of a household name. And be able to, he's definitely the first guy to be touring by himself with a ukulele. So, yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I remember hearing that George Harrison used to give out ukuleles.
To
people.
There are a lot of people that really push that side of it. They call it, you know, it's kind of one of the only true folk instruments, in the fact that it's like, give me 5-10 minutes with somebody, I can have them playing something they recognize. There's not a lot of instruments that you can say that about.
Wow. Okay, you mentioned Aldrin Guerrero. How would you compare? I mean, could you talk about some of the performers that are going to be playing on the concerts?
I think Chris probably
could. And maybe talk about their, maybe just a few words about their styles.
That's an interesting thing, because we do, part of the mission of the Uke Fest is to sort of showcase all the different stuff that people are doing on it.
Right.
So Aldrin is very much in this vein of the sort of Hawaiian virtuosos, in that he really has a mastery of traditional Hawaiian music, and then through kind of the amount of technical skill and what an innovator he is, he brings those, you know, those songs that have been around forever to just a whole new level, and then applies some of that to pop music too. So I know you know if you're sitting through some of his set, you'll recognize some pop hits that he like recrafted for his ukulele style. And it's pretty cool to see. And then the Quiet American.
Aaron.
Yeah, that's, you know, like I said, he's got a lot of, like, he takes folk styles and puts them on the ukulele in this really interesting way. And then writes music in that kind of Americana folk vein. That's really great. And then, we also on Saturday night have the Canote brothers.
Yep.
And they're just a riot.
It's two older guys and.
Yeah. Well, they kind of remind me of the musical incarnation of the Car Talk guys. but they're just incredible. And they'll play ukulele and then switch. So one of them's playing ukulele and one of them's playing fiddle. And they'll play these old timey tunes. And then what's really great about them is they play these like old novelty songs. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, it's goofy and it's hilarious, but then they just like execute them so well that you're laughing, and then you're also just in amazement of how well they're playing the whole thing. So, yeah. And then, yeah, Jake Shimabukuro is Friday night with John, Daniela, and Casey opening up the show. So, yeah, that's kind of the range of, and you and Casey and Daniela all have three totally different approaches to the instrument.
Yeah.
And I love it.
It's a really, it's, I don't know. That's one of my, I've been working at Swallow, how long have I been working now? Two years, something like that. I moved from the Bay Area to Denver and was lucky enough to get on board with these guys. And it's been one of my favorite things about being an instructor and a teacher there is just being surrounded by people who do what I do. They teach and they perform. Music is kind of their lives. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so being able to do these collaborations, I've played, you know, 3 or 4 concerts now, and just being able to kind of collaborate with all these musicians who have totally different styles. And and it's really fun to see kind of what gets created. Me and Casey have been playing together for probably 5 or 6 shows now, and he plays upright bass and I play ukulele, which is one of my favorite mixes, kind of both extreme ends of the sound spectrum, you know, very low and very high. And when you kind of meet in the middle there, it gets into some interesting stuff. And Daniela is somebody who I've been trying to collaborate with for a while. So it's been really fun in the rehearsal process to kind of be trading off on instruments and be doing some of our own tunes. And
oh, that's not the one that said Daniela, she called herself Daniela ate the sandwich.
That's another ukulele player. It's okay, a little bit confusing. Yeah, this is Daniela Katz here, and you can, she's an incredible musician that plays around town and, you know, plays music on ukulele too.
Right, yeah.
Also a great teacher at Swallow Hill.
A couple of musicians a few years ago stayed with me, and they actually played Cajun and Zydeco music, but we own ukuleles, and they saw them, and they grabbed them, and in about, you know, in a few hours, they were kind of like what you said, they were just ripping things apart.
Uh-huh.
And one of them said about the ukulele, the strum of it, the rhythmic strum, is the whole ball game. Would you agree with that?
What do you think, Chris?
That was when I went from guitar to ukulele, that was all about like learning the right hand strum. Because, you know, with guitar, a lot of times you're using a pick, and ukulele, most of the time you're using your fingers. And things that are hard to demonstrate on the radio. But with the ukulele, you engage, like, you know, several fingers in your right hand in different ways to kind of create, like, some of the strums. Like, instead of just strumming, you may be doing, you know, I'm kind of like fanning my fingers and doing some of that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a huge kind of hallmark of the right hand style of the ukulele. John,
I agree with you. Yeah, the left hand shapes, I mean, in general, if you know guitar chords and things like that, it's not a very hard transfer. You got to do a little transposing in your head, but you can play almost all the similar left hand shapes. And so, yeah, I think that's one of the things that really makes ukulele unique is the right hand technique. And I kind of, as a purist, think that you shouldn't play with a pick and that you should always play, because it utilizes a lot of things. And, you know, in the last 5 or 10 years, there have been a lot of people that have brought a lot of flamenco technique, banjo technique, different things that really utilize all 4 of the fingers at the same time. And since, you know, you have 4 fingers, it kind of makes sense. And, I think that to get sort of a true kind of ukulele sound, that's really what you want to be doing, is using the right hand in kind of its full capacity, rather than relying on a pick.
Were your Cajun Zydeco friends playing the like triangle rhythm on the ukulele?
I think they really had a good rhythm. Rhythm. It wasn't the Cajun Zydeco rhythm at all, you know. So
cool.
Yeah,
love to hear that.
Yeah. One guy was a professional, you know, in Nashville, and a bass player and a guitar player, and so I mean, he loved picking up the uke.
It translates easy. There are a lot of transplants, guitar players and bass players and things like that, because, you know, a lot of the skills they come over and are very applicable on the instrument.
Do you guys get invited to other ukulele festivals around the country?
You know, I'm so focused on ours.
Yeah.
But John, have you?
Yeah, I have done a few. I've been to the Vancouver Ukulele Festival up in Vancouver, British Columbia. I've been to a few kind of in the local Bay Area scene, and then also a pretty big one that happens in Reno Ukulele Festival. So,
cool.
Yeah, it's kind of turning into something that, you know, as an instructor and a performer, that you can start to kind of make your way around, because there's a lot of ukulele festivals happening. Season comes around and there's usually like one a month.
Wow.
Almost anywhere, you know. Nice. So it's a small community too, and it's nice to like get to know the people. A few of the artists that are coming I've actually met before, and it'll be great to see them again too.
I remember when I was at L2, you would have like, and then we can go on to the music after this question, but you would have like 1,200-1,300 registrants for that. I mean, do you guys still have those big numbers for the big festival now?
I don't know if L2 ever got quite up to that, but I think this year we're probably, I imagine, for the Saturday workshop portion, we're probably looking at 150 people, and then almost 300 people attending the Saturday night. And then Jake Shimabukuro on Friday night is in a much larger theater because he's a kind of star on the ukulele.
All right. What do you guys want to play now?
Shoot. Do you want to play one of ours together?
Yeah.
We worked on this.
All right.
We even rehearsed.
For those of you.
Let's do yours first.
Yeah.
Tuning in late, we're listening to John Nash and Chris McGarry, fabulous ukulele teachers at Swallow Hill.
All right. Now you want me? I'll count. 1, 2, 3. Broken heart, that's all I've got. You made me cry, and I cried a lot. I lost your love, honey, thanks a lot. You told our friends as I was passing by that you're not sorry that you made me cry. You said I deserve everything I got. Well, if that's how you feel, honey, thanks a lot. Thanks. Thanks a lot. Got a broken heart, that's all I've got. You made me cry, and I cried a lot. I lost your love, honey, thanks a lot. Heart. We loved a little and we laughed a lot. Then you were gone, honey, thanks a lot. Thanks, thanks a lot. Got a broken heart, that's all I've got. You made me cry and I cried a lot. Thanks a lot. I lost your love. Honey, thanks a lot.
Chris. curious, you can always come here and play Ernest Tubb anytime you want to.
All right, great.
In fact, there's something about the way you're styled. You sound a little bit like him and the way you sang that song.
Yeah, I think I just had him in my head.
Yeah, very nice.
I don't know if Ernest Tubb ever picked up a ukulele or that he would really appreciate what I did with it, but
he probably would have liked it.
Yeah.
Another tune?
Sure.
Okay, cool.
We're on a roll.
Yeah, I'm going to do a cover of... I want to say he's a Boulder native, Gregory Allen Isakoff.
Yes.
Do a tune called The Stable Song. Remember when the songs were just like prayer? All the gospel hymns that you called in the air. Come down, sweet reverence.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
the next semester, what if people are out there listening right now and they want to come to Swallow Hill? When's a good time to start? And they want to learn the ukulele. When's the next semester start?
Yeah, so next week.
Next week,
next
okay.
Next session, yeah. Yeah, and you can hop in. It's funny, one of the things I hear from people is they're like, oh, you don't, I'm not even ready for the beginner class. You don't want me. I'm like, no, we want you. And we've heard worse, so.
So we both used to be worse.
Yeah, and that's kind of, you know, what we're all about is just, you know, just getting people playing. So
yeah,
you know,
and
even if you thought that, you know, you'd never be able to play, we can get you playing, so.
And don't you think that almost anybody can play an instrument? I mean, even though they think they can't?
Yeah, I really think so. And I think there's this bizarre kind of thing that there's this like concept of like you're talented at music or you're not. And, you know, we could argue about talent all night, but I think a lot of it's practice. And then there's also, even if you're not going to be, even if you're worried you're not going to be good at it, that doesn't mean you shouldn't play. You know, like you can be terrible and play and get out of it what you need to, you know, and you can express yourself and make music. And
yeah.
who cares how good it is? So
right. I mean, yeah. It's just for enjoyment, right?
Yeah.
I think there's a value to that that everybody can kind of understand. There's not many people out there that I know that hate music. It's a pretty universal thing. So to get a little bit of that joy in your life, I think is so valuable. And, you know, to speak to that, a lot of people thinking that, you know, they're not talented in music or they don't have rhythm. It's a skill, just like anything. I think that there are a lot of people born with a little bit of an inclination to be able to pick stuff up faster, but that doesn't, I've yet to meet somebody who's tone deaf and completely helpless when it comes to rhythm. And, you know, for me, I as a teacher, I enjoy teaching all levels, you know, from beginner to advanced. And so, yeah, there really is never a bad time to start up. Swallow Hill, I believe, there are 8-week sessions there, and the next one does start up next week. So, yeah, if anybody's interested, come check it out. And ukulele is a great instrument to kind of, like I said, that approachability is one of the reasons that a lot of people gravitate towards it, because when they see people play ukulele, even, you know, complicated technical things, mm-hmm. they're never like, I could never do that, which is a lot of what happens when you see like a concert violinist or somebody on a piano who's been playing all their lives. That can be a little intimidating. And that's one of the reasons I like it, is that people feel like they can approach it and not be intimidated, you know.
Do you have a lot of people like maybe over the age of 70 that come and play ukulele?
Actually, I do. I do. It's a really great demographic for it. I find that a lot of people kind of retired and have always wanted to play music, and ukulele is one of those things that's like, it's on kind of their bucket list. Like, I want to learn how to play music, and so they've got a lot of free time, and you know, come and start learning at Swallow Hill, and then they find they love it. And they'll be playing ukulele for the rest of their lives.
All right. Very cool. What are we going to do next? And great answers, by the way, too.
Thank you.
I mean, really, really great. I mean, I'm just thinking that my wife and I were playing for a while together, and I enjoyed it, even though sometimes, I mean, I would get like a chord change or something like that before she would, and then she would say, well, why didn't you wait for me? Okay, so then I wait for her, and what does she do? Then she just goes ahead of me, and I can't catch up with her.
Yeah. Well, learning to play music with other people, it's a different skill. I mean, like, you can work in your bedroom all you want, but to really get good at playing music with people and developing your ear, there's nothing, no substitute with playing with other people. You know, you really have to do that. We could do, you want to do the Dylan tune?
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to do a Dylan tune. Don't think twice. It's all right.
Nice.
My little spin on it. One.
Cool.
Two, three.
Why?
They know you say I'm turning on your light, babe. That light I never know. Well, they know you say I'm turning on your light, babe. I'm on the dark side of the road. Well, I wish there was something you could do or say. Make me change my mind and stay. We never did too much talking anyway. Don't think twice, it's alright.
Well, it ain't a use in calling out my name, babe, like you never done before. Child, I'm told, 'cause I gave her my heart, but she wanted my soul. I said, don't think twice, it's alright.
Well, it's so long, little honey, babe, where I'm bound, I can't tell. Say fare thee well. Well, I ain't saying that you treated me unkind. You could have done better, but I don't mind. You just kind of wasted all my valuable time. So don't think twice. Don't you ever think twice. Don't think twice. It's all right.
We've been listening to an enjoyable 55 minutes so far with John Nash and Chris McGarry from Swallow Hill. And thank you so much for giving us this delightful program tonight,
yeah,
gentlemen.
Sure. Thanks for inviting us.
Yeah, thanks for having us. This is really a lot of fun to get out and play some songs and talk to you.
When I first started hosting Cabaret, Chris, I think you were like my second one or... Yeah, a long time ago.
That was a long time ago.
About 2010, perhaps.
That sounds Whoa. About right.
Yeah. Yeah, and we'd like to thank George for doing the sound and the George Figs sound crew team.
Yeah.
Thanks, George.
Sounds
yeah.
good.
All right. Well, we have 5 minutes left, and let's pack it in with music, whatever you guys want to play.
All right. Okay. I'll let John take
I'll play
us
out. I'm going to do another instrumental piece, and a lot of the tunes you've heard tonight, Daniela and Casey and I are going to be doing. Again, we're really excited to be opening for Mr. Shimabukuro, so... be sure if you're interested, check out Swallow Hill. If you're interested in Uke Fest. Thank you.
so pretty, John. Beautiful.
Thank you very much.
Well, this has been Cabaret with John Nash and Chris McGarry from Swallow Hill. Thank you very much, everybody, for listening, and tune in next week. We take you now to Corriente Vaya.
This program is brought to you by KGNU listener members and by Emporium Presents, featuring UB40 with special guests Modest Yahoo and Rajan Faya at Lovett Pavilion in Denver on Friday, July 21st. Tickets available at Ticketmaster.com.
KGNU 88.5 FM 1390 AM Boulder, Denver. Ay, 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 buenísimas noches, ladies and gentlemen and women, boys and girls. Ah, Simón Bosque, señoras y señores, vatos y vatas, locos y locas, cholas y cholos. You're tuned in to KGNU's Latin Music Show Corriente, música para la gente. I'm Lito, el loco del barrio Pocho, soltándole las riendas a la música de mi corazón to celebrate Jazz Month 2017. Ah, pues Simón, que sí tenemos originators like Dizzy Gillespie and Tito Puente, innovators like Las Diaz Sisters y La Melissa Aldana, and we'll hear traditional Afro-Indigenous music that would blow your jazz head breakers. We'll explore the edges of the Greater Caribbean with Willie May, La Mamasota Thornton, Herbie Hancock, y Mongo Santa Maria. We're going to reach from Brazil with Cal Jader's version of the Black Orpheus Suite to Japan with the Orquesta de la Luz. We've got the Afro-Latin sound of surprise and cosmic respect from Borinquen, Califastlan, Canada, Colombia, Cuba, Mexico, Nueva York, Puerto Rico, Venezuela, y hasta el Japón. So get set to groove low, slow, cause we got no word in Spanish for jazz, cause it's all jazz to us up and down this wrinkle in the earth called the Rocky Mountains in the north. Simón Pesque, la Sierra Andina in the south, y el corazón de las Américas in the middle. Our first set will surprise you with the connections between the traditional Afro-Indigenous music of the Caribbean and modern jazz players like Charlie Parker. We're going to start out our Afro-Latin jazz show with Pío Leyva, El Montunero de Cuba, bringing offerings to the ancestors because they invented the music we dance to. Only on Corriente, only on KGNU, su radio independiente.